I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Before we start our party, before we get started on our party, before we kick the party off, before we do what we do, I want to talk to you about something that I've been waiting to talk to you about. Since tonight is a unique night, it's just us. And so tonight I want to talk to you about something called preventative maintenance. How many of you are 16, 15 or older? Raise your hand if you're 15 or older. Of the 15 or older crowd, how many of you are ready to drive? Now, how many of you young individuals can actually drive? Okay, let me give you a little bit of information. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not lie. So let me ask you again, how many of you can actually operate a motor vehicle? At the end of the service, my phone number is going to be flashed up on the thing, and what I want you to do is I want you to text me whenever you get in the car and get ready to drive so I can stay at home. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I do not want to be on the road with you little jokers, you little whippersnappers that think you own the road. You cannot own the, you don't own the road. Look, no, seriously, I will admit that I'm a little more aggressive when it comes to operating a motor vehicle. Look, I drive a large truck with a huge, like, two thousand pound ranch hand on the front end of my vehicle. Yeah. If you see me coming down the road and you look in your rearview mirror and you see me, move out of the way. Move. My junk says move. That's what ranch hand mean in Greek. Move. Just saying. Okay, I'm not going to get in my soapbox up. But listen, if you have aspirations of driving a car or owning a car, one of the things that you're going to have to learn is preventative maintenance. It doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong or broken. It means that there are certain things that you got to do to keep your car operating so that things don't break, so that you don't break down, you know? So it's not necessarily, oh, I got a flat tire, I got to get out and fix that. That's not preventative maintenance. That's, uh-oh. Preventative maintenance is kind of looking at the future and foreseeing and foretelling what could go wrong and making sure that we do things to make it not go wrong. Spiritually, you need to do preventative maintenance. Spiritually, you have to keep yourself in a condition where not only are you covered from the attacks of the enemy, but the enemy has no hold on you. Jesus said it this way: Satan has come at me, but he has nothing in me. There's no possibility of him catching hold of me. And so I want you to be that same way. We've got a lot of things happening in 1440. If you feel like you have gone to a new level in God over the last, I've been here since February 17th. If you feel like you have gone to a new level in God since February 17th, I want you to make some noise right now. Are you excited about that?
Yes.
Because that has nothing, that has very little to do with me personally. That has everything to do with the amount of anointing that's on you. And we want to be good stewards of that anointing. And so tonight, I'm going to just, before we get ready to party, because we about to get down with the get down, baby. I'm about to blow my, hold on a second. Duck call. And we're going to do some things. Did that hurt your ears?
Yeah.
Come here, let me get closer. So we about to do some things. Hey, all my ducky people. There we go. I got a whole group over here. All right, so we're going to talk about preventative maintenance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, 17 says this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me tell you something. If God has done something in your life, if he has delivered you, saved you, set you free, broke the bondages in your life, if he has not done those things, he can do those things, but when he does them to such a degree that you become new. even if you were already saved and were new, that word being made new or all things are made new is a tense in the Greek that's called aortis, which means it's ongoing. You are constantly being made new. You're constantly learning new things about God. God is constantly showing you new stuff. He's constantly renewing you. You're being renewed in your mind, renewed in your heart. You are constantly on a quest to move from glory to glory, which all of that denotes you're being made new. You are a new person. Jesus said it like this. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said it like this, starting verse 16. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. So newness means you have to take on newness. I have a tendency to teach this like this. When you're growing spiritually, it's like God is taking a highlighter and he's growing you up. He's developing you, but he at the same time, he's highlighting areas in your life that don't fit. This just doesn't match. This doesn't make any sense anymore. It may have made sense with the old person, but the new person is a new creation. How many of you like to take baths? What really bothers me is not everybody raised their hand. You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean. Just saying. Just saying. So if you don't like to take baths, you have my permission to not listen. But if you like to take baths, think about it this way. Do you put dirty clothes on after you get out of bathtubs? Okay, so bad example. For those of you who like to put on dirty clothes after you get out of bath, what's wrong with you? You nasty. Did your mom ever tell you that nasty, the cleanliness is next to godliness? Good grief. But for those of you who are sane and like to put on clean clothes, it doesn't make sense for you to go get clean, your body clean, and you to put on the same dirt. Now, here's the deal. Here's the trick of the enemy. Here's the trick of the enemy. Listen to me, young person. I know we're about to get our Duck Dynasty on, but listen to me. The trick of the enemy is this. The enemy does not just overtly advertise that this is dirty. He will try to convince you that it doesn't matter. You can do a little bit of this. You can get away with a little bit of that. Or it'll be in areas that are not necessarily sin. They just don't match your newness anymore. And so tonight we're going to talk about how to make sure that we are being good stewards of this anointing that we've been gifted with and how to stay in a place of full functioning when it comes to spirituality. So 1440, all this stuff is going to hit home. But all this stuff is going to grow you. All right? Number one, if you're new, if God has renewed you, delivered you, live new. Live new. Live new. What I mean by that is this. If God has touched you and delivered you in a specific area of your life, this is what I believe. When you came to this altar and we prayed for you, God did his part. He's faithful. Now it's time for you to live in his part. Most people will tell you it's time for you to do your part. That's not the deal. You don't have to work it anymore. He did what you asked him to do. So if you came up here and you prayed for forgiveness, he forgave. If you prayed for deliverance, he delivered. If you prayed to be set free, he set you free. But it's up to you to walk into your freeness. It's up to you to walk into your deliverance. It's up to you to live like you're saved. So what I want to encourage you to do is this. Live new. When that thing tries to attack you again, you look at it and you like get real like crazy on them. I mean, no, you didn't. Come at me with all that craziness. I will drop kick you in the throat, devil. You don't know nothing about me. I'm a bad man. Just saying. You don't have to. What I'm saying is this. I see so many people come up, get prayed for. They go back. And then 3 weeks later, they come up and get prayed for the exact same thing. Now, if you are still struggling in that area, we want to partner with you and we want to pray for you. But understand, you're not saying the same prayer that you said before. When the first time you prayed, you asked him to deliver you. The second time you come up here and you get prayed for, it needs to be show me how to live in your new grace. It does not need to be, I'm still a victim. Baby, you're not a victim. I don't have not a victim in here. I don't even know how to spell victim real good. We got rid of all the victims. We kicked all the victims out and we have victors. If you are a victor, raise your hand, shout hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to live like we have victory. Thing number two, I got three letters for you. P-D-A. Enough said. If you don't know what PDA is, don't worry, baby. I'm going to explain it. If you know what PDA is, then you know what I'm talking about. Here's the deal, 1440. There's no condemnation. We love each other and we are a family. There's a lot of affection between us. And if you're new here and you're visiting, I can promise you this. You will scarcely find a place where love is king like it's king in 1440. We love each other. We do. But loving each other ain't got to look like. Well, you know what I'm talking about. This brother up here with his head in his hands going, oh my God. This ain't even cool. I didn't sign up for this. I ain't going to be able to sleep tonight. So what I'm asking you to do is this. What I'm asking you to do is this. Take on a sense of appropriateness. You know, God is sending people to 1440, and I believe that he is sending people here who don't understand where you are spiritually, and they're not going to give you time to explain all of your theological principles. All they're going to do is look at you and see how you act. And that's the Jesus that they're going to get. And so it's hard to give Jesus to somebody. Can somebody bring me my friend? My thank you. Oh my. Y'all leave her alone. Don't talk bad about her. It's hard to give somebody Jesus when you look like this right here in Remix. I'm like, hey, can you come over here and help me with something? Okay. You got some nachos? You want some nachos? Yeah, I'm going to get some nachos. It's hard to look like Jesus. And we giggle about it. But come on. Isn't that serious? If we look like what they've been delivered from, we got an issue. So we got to clean that up. Right? Thing number three, attitude toward leadership. People in authority, and hear me, your parents. If your mama is sitting in the pickup line calling for you to come get in the car, and you like, psh, whatever, this is the first time she called. I usually let her call 10 times at least before I ever even go outside because I run my house. Y'all know how I do it. No. The first time your parent comes and calls for you to come outside, you need to be jumping up and running out there. Why? Because it shows that you respect your parent. And you don't know who's watching you. Somebody who's watching you may have an issue respecting their parent. And so you need to show them that God is able to heal in that area and able to make you new. Additionally, last week we laid hands on our staff. We laid hands on our volunteers. We prayed for them. We undergirded them. Well, a part of undergirding them is respecting them. So if a staff member, if a volunteer, understand, I want you to hear this very clearly. If a volunteer tells you something, they're telling you something from my position. I can't be everywhere. But I have people who are capable of being in those places. And they're speaking to you because I've given them the authority to. So respond to them the way you respond to me. And I have never had a disrespect problem in 1440. Never. Never. You are respectful. You are very much so willing to fall under leadership. You are willing to respect my position, so respect theirs. Okay? We in? Y'all good? Yes, sir. I ain't being too bad, am I? No. I ain't whooping nobody tonight. Thank you. All right. No clicks. How many of y'all are ready for our sixth graders to come up next week? Man, I'm so excited. Next week is promotion week. So excited. And the reason I'm so excited is this. They are going to be loved unlike they have ever experienced love ever before. But in order for that to happen, they cannot get here and feel unwanted and unwelcome. So you will not be clicky. If you see somebody by themselves off to the corner, you will respond to that person. You will draw them in. You're going to love on them. You're not going to be like, hey, sixth grader. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Seventh grader. Go get me a glass of sweet tea. I want their lemons. No, you're not going to do that, right? Because you love them. So we're not going to be clicky. And we're not going to subject them like and beat them and make them feel like they are prisoners of war. All right. No prisoners of war. Anu, why are you awing for? Look at this. Come here. Get up, boy. Get up. The shortest thing in here. Looking forward to Abby. Looking forward to... I'm just saying, I love you, Anu. Did y'all see Anu at home groups? Yeah. Down doing all this right here, looking like a ninja? Yeah. Oh. Scared me a little bit. All right. I want, going along the lines with respecting your leadership, when somebody's up here on the platform talking, pay attention to them. Even though you're just coming in, I know you're all hyped up or whatever, but when people over here doing the announcements, pay attention to them. You know why we know that you don't pay attention to them? Because 2 days later, we get a phone call saying, hey, when is that happening again? Well, they told you on the stage, baby. So let's turn our ears on. Everybody got ears? Do they work? If not, we're going to pray for your healing right now. Pay attention to them. Pick up after yourself. Pick up after yourself. The people that you prayed for last week are blacksmiths. They are not maids. They did not come and volunteer to vacuum floors and clean up your mess. All right? If anything, you need to be serving them. So I need you to pick up after yourself. Find a trash can. I would get into the bathroom etiquette, but I'm just saying, hit your target. Just keeping it real. Just saying. It needs to be said. Pastor John gonna say it. All right. Some of my leadership in the back are like, oh gosh. We do all this to keep him employed, and then his boy just come up here and say some craziness like that. All right, listen. Be ready to minister. Now, I'm not asking you to get up here and preach a sermon, and I'm also not asking you to be ready to like give an expository explanation of Jesus Christ and lead people. But what I am asking you to do is be ready with your gift. Remember the cards that I had you guys fill out and tell me what you felt like God was calling you to? You remember those? A lot of you wrote down stuff like you were called to be a minister, you were called to operate in ministry gifts. Be ready to do that. Because I believe we've taught you, we've laid hands on you, we have prayed for you, we have put you in a position to develop those gifts. And there's only one way to develop them, and that's to do them. So there are going to be other times when I ask you corporately, not individually, I'm not going to single you out unless I let you know, and then I'm going to single you out. But there'll be times corporately when we need to be ready to minister. So if I tell you to extend your hand towards somebody and let's pray for them, I want you to pray, man. If I tell you that we are going to do something to minister to somebody, I want you to be quick to do that. This is what I envision of 1440. This is what I envision for you. All right, we're going down the list. Mentoring goes back to our young people who are coming in, but it also goes with people who are coming in who are just now getting to know Jesus. Set the example. Don't judge. Listen. And your response, they don't need to know all of the craziness that you've been through. They need to hear these words. God can deliver. God can save. Because God can heal. God can forgive. Because coming from your mouth, from where you are, from your age group, that is critical. Them hearing that I'm not forever doomed. I'm not infinitely unique. I'm not alone. But God, there is a God that loves me. And I didn't just hear that from the pastor, but a teenager told me that. If you believe it for you, believe it for them. Amen? All right. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Some of y'all days and over. Y'all ready for a moon pie? Y'all don't know what a moon pie is. Lord have mercy. I'm about to introduce you to a new way of life. All right, listen. Be outreach minded. Be outreach minded. And this goes along with this. How many of you want to go on a missions trip? How many of you want to see more outreaches within 1440? Opportunities to serve. How many of you want to do more activities? Y'all want to go out and like go to water parks and theme parks and all that kind of stuff. Are y'all excited about that? Me too. I'm so excited. Okay. Well, then look, sign up. Sign up. We do stuff all the time. We put stuff out there. We ask you to send in answers. We ask you to put your name on lists. And then people go, I really want to do it. I really want to do it. I really want to do it. Oh, gotta go. And you never put your name on stuff. Be outreach minded. Be active. Be connected. Sign up. I can't keep doing stuff and don't nobody sign up. Then five of y'all sign up. They're like, well, you can't do that no more. And I'm like, okay. Well, ain't nobody sign up. Sign up. Sign up. Come on. All right. Last few. Be eager to serve. I asked some of you if you're interested in working in the Ministry of Helps Department up the hill. I've yet to see anybody come and do that. I've asked some of you if you're interested in serving in other areas. I've yet to see some people say they're interested in do that. So do that. Let's see. Give. And you're going to get an opportunity to give when you're leaving here, but that doesn't just stop there. You have more than what you think you do. If you don't have money, give something else. Until you do have money, then give money and that thing. So we need to be givers. Isn't that what the Super Kid Creed says? I am not a... I don't steal. I'm a giver, not a taker. I'm a tither and a giver, not a taker. Amen. Hey, yo, that song, though, is hype. I hear Danny in the song. I'm like, yeah, dog. And I'm up there. Look, I'm at home like this. I am a super kid. Look, I know the dance. Y'all better be. That's me all day. That's me all day. All right. Last couple. Listen. Let's talk about your clothing. Few things. Not too tight, not too loose, not too low, not too high, not too short, not too long. Just saying. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to try to keep it clean. I'm going to keep it clean, but you know what I mean. All right, if you got a guess, if you got to look at it and go, should I wear that? Then don't. Wear something else. Put on the muumuu. Just saying. And that goes for girls and guys. So it's not just girls and guys. And the last one is this. Listen, bullying. We are a family. So I don't think anybody in here intends to bully anybody. But I do think that some people in here may joke harshly with people when they really can't take it. So always err on the side of caution. If someone looks like they're really annoyed by what you're doing, then guess what? They're annoyed by what you're doing. And I have annoyed many of people by what I do. And if you end it early enough, they got a lot of grace and they will forgive you. But if you keep egging it on, it's going to be like, look, we tried to tell you 15 times and you won't do it. And so somebody's going to call the police. You're going to be in jail and I'm going to have to come bail you out. And I ain't got that kind of money. So you're going to have to spend 24 hours and that's the way it's going to be. All right? All right? Now, last thing I want to do with my friend is I'm about to institute a policy. All right? If you hug someone of the same sex, Danny, come here. Run, I ain't got number 30 seconds. If you hug someone of the same sex, then it's cool. What's happening, man? You good?
I'm good.
All right, that's cool. That's the proper, you can do that. All right, if you're a girl, then I'm really interested in seeing how you recreate that, but whatever. I mean, handle your business. But, like that, yeah, like that. But if you hug someone of the opposite sex, this is what I want to see from now on.
Yeah.
Amen? This is called the awkward side hug. This is the awkward side hug. And listen, I am personally going to hit you over the head with a baseball bat if I see you doing this right here. This is not the awkward side hug. This is, we've been married for 17 years. Appropriate? In jail. Appropriate? In jail. All right? Green light? Sexual harassment. You got it? Yes, sir. Amen? Yes, sir. All right, how many of y'all ready to party? Yeah. Was this good for you?
Yeah.
You feel like this is, you're more informed now?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray and go. Father, we love you. We thank you that we can have fun. But God, we also thank you that we can grow up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. We thank you that that we can be children of light, that we can mature, have a good time doing it. And God, I pray that tonight, as we are partying, as we are having a good time, Father, that you would bless our fellowship. I pray for our new people here. God, I pray that you would connect them with us. Show us how to love them. We want to be love-minded. But ultimately, Lord, I pray that as a youth group and as a family, we would come together, become more solid with one another, and continue to develop. In Jesus' name.